Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Kenneth Copeland and Rabbi Jonathan Kahn today as they explain the mystery of the Jubilee. Learn how God has orchestrated all of human existence to show His glory to all mankind. Here's Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. Friday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. My goodness, this 2 weeks of this, man. Praise God. Let's pray. You can already tell I'm so wired up, I hardly stand. Father, thank you for opening our eyes and revealing things to us and being so present in all of these broadcasts and all in our lives. We are so grateful to you for it, and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, I cannot tell you, sir, what a thrill this has been. My.
It's been an absolute joy. More than I expected. An absolute joy. And thank you for to be able to do this, to share with you. Thank you to your people.
Well, it's just more than I can tell you. Everybody loves a mystery to start with. Mm-hmm. God created us like that.
Yeah.
But Bible mysteries, the ones that take revelation to unlock.
Yes.
They're so delicious. It's just marvelous, man.
He is the God who reveals himself. So he's the ultimate mystery. He reveals himself, and that's his pleasure. And it is to the glory of God to seek out a mystery when it's him.
That is so good.
Yeah, and we've said this a few times. There's no end to it. I mean, no matter how long I'm in the Lord, there's no end to it. You know, a book is as deep as its author. The author of this book is infinitely deep, so there's no end to it. And there's only an end if you stop searching, if you stop seeking. But it's there. There's no end.
Oh, no end, absolutely.
Yeah, and we have got another mystery.
This is one of my, this may be my favorite.
Is the mystery of the Jubilee.
Yes, and amen.
I put it at the end of the mystery of the Shemitah, which is called the mystery of the seventh Shemitah. And that is a prophetic mystery that has to do with a super Shemitah. And it begins in the same chapter where we read that the Shemitah began, Leviticus 25. It talks about the Shemitah, the seventh year, the Sabbath year, and then it leads right into this. And there's a reason for they're linked together. So here it is in Leviticus 25, and it says this, verse 8, you shall number seven Sabbaths of years, to you seven times 7 years, and the space of seven Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you will cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land, and you will hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee to you, and you will return every man to his possession, and you'll return every man to his family. And then it goes on. Now, the Jubilee. It's so good. And first of all, the Shemitah and the Jubilee are linked together. You can't have one without the other. The Shemitah, he says you will count seven Sabbaths or seven Shemitahs, and that's 49 years. Then comes the Jubilee. So the Jubilee always comes on the right after ushers in by the seventh Shemitah. The seventh Shemitah ushers in the Jubilee. Now, one thing we alluded to last time, the mystery of the Shemitah is linked to end time events as well, because when you look at Daniel's 77s, what are they? They're 70 Shemitahs of years. And they link up with what happened with Israel when it was in judgment for 77s, representing 77s of years. Then it's the countdown for Messiah, and then there's one seven or Shemitah period left at the end, which is the tribulation. That's where we're heading to. So all prophecy, this is also, the Shemitah is linked to end time prophecy, and what we're going to get into the Jubilee is getting into end time prophecy, where we are now. Now, here's the thing. What happened during the Jubilee? I mean, I know you know, I'm preaching to the choir, but the Jubilee is...
Well, the choir loves it.
Okay.
Amen.
The Jubilee is restoration. Yeah. Everyone shall be restored. If you lost your house, you're restored. You lost your family's home, you're restored. You lost your inheritance, you messed up, you blew it. You get it back on the Jubilee year. It says everyone shall return to his possession and everyone shall return to his father's house, shall return to their family. So it's time of restoration, reconciliation, restitution, freedom, 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 and you sound that shofar. So this is a super Shemitah. Now, here's the thing. We know 2,000 years ago, Israel, the Jewish people, to whom this was given to first, they lost their home. They lost their ancestral possession. They lost everything this is talking about. They lost Israel. They were driven out by the Romans. They were scattered around the world. That's why you see Jews around the world, because they lost their home. You know, and so here we know Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah said, I am not returning until my people, it's like your family, my people say, Baruch haba, Hashem Adonai, blessed is he. So for that to happen, they don't just have to say it anyway. They have to return to Israel to be able to say those words. They have to return to Jerusalem. That's where he's coming to say those words, and that's when he comes. But for the Jewish people to return to their possession, it's Jubilee. Got to be. It's Jubilee. I mean, if anybody, the return to Israel's got to be Jubilee, because this is the ultimate prophetic Jubilee. So here's the big question. Could this mystery of the Shemitahs, it begins here, goes to the seventh Shemitah, actually tell us when end time events had to take place, giving the exact time parameter? Now, here's the thing. We don't know. We don't have records of when the Jubilee was celebrated in the time of Messiah. But we do know when the Shemitah was. We have ancient records of when the Shemitah. So here's the key. The Jubilee has to come the year after a Shemitah, because it's the 50th year, 49th year. Mm-hmm. So it has to come after the seventh Shemitah. Now, could it be that we actually can find and pinpoint end time events? Well, here's the thing. 1917, year of the Shemitah, 1917. What happens? We said before in the past program, Shemitah is shaking, and you even have world shaking. You got world shaking. It's the key year of World War I, war up to that day. And what happens? And the Shemitah also means collapse. What happens? Empires start collapsing. The Russian Empire, hundreds of years old, collapsing. German Empire is collapsing. And the Ottoman Turkish Empire is collapsing. Now, the Ottoman Turkish Empire, this is the Islamic Empire that has the land of Israel. You know, what happened when you lost your land? A stranger took it. Well, a stranger's took that land. For 2,000 years, everybody but the Jews claimed that land. And you know something else? I'm throwing this in. They tried to farm that land. They could never farm that land. No, it could never grow. Never grow. Meanwhile, the Jewish people, they weren't allowed to farm, most of them, and they weren't allowed to farm at all. So you have the people who can't farm, and a land that can't be farmed. Put them together. What happens? The land blossoms like a rose in the desert. Yeah. That's God. When you come home, there's blessing. So the thing is that. So here's what happens. The Ottoman Empire all of a sudden begins collapsing. Now, the same time, you had a revival in Britain, England. You had a great revival in the 19th century. And people, brought a love for the Jewish people, a love for Israel. So they're praying for Israel. This little boy goes to bed, and his mother said, every night before you go to bed, you have to close your prayers praying for the Jewish people. So he says, Lord, every night the little boy says, Lord, restore your ancient people to their homeland, their ancient homeland. Every night, British boy. Well, now it's going to come true. Through that same people, through the British Empire, is going to be used, that was praying for this, used as the Ottoman Empire is falling, the British Empire is entering the Middle East under General Edmund Allenby. He goes in, he's actually using a Bible when he looks at the strategy. He has a Bible in his hand. He gets to Jerusalem. When he gets to Jerusalem, he finds the Turkish soldiers are gone. There's no fight. They say that they mistook his name, Allenby, for Allah Nebi, the prophet of Allah, who's coming to judge them, and they took off. So he got there, they're gone. Even God uses that. And so now Jerusalem, Israel comes into, for the first time in 2,000 years, is in the hands of a people who actually are favorable to the Jewish people, the British Empire, first time. And they make a declaration, the Balfour Declaration, which says the land of Palestine, they called it, shall now be a homeland for the Jewish people.
Now, General Allenby was that little boy.
General Allenby was the little boy who prayed every night, Lord, restore it. And God used the little boy to actually fulfill the prophecy. Talk about how every moment, Allenby didn't even want to go into the army. He didn't even want to be a general. And God caused it to happen because through it, God would fulfill the prophecy of the little boy's prayer. You know, we talk about Daniel praying and then all history? This little boy prayed. He didn't know. And he was used, and Allenby never forgot it. He remembered it. He realized he was used for that. When Allenby got to Jerusalem, he got off the horse. He said, I can't enter this. You know, my Lord entered on a donkey, so I'm getting off my horse and walked through humbly. But he was the little boy, so God can use that.
Isn't that
and so
amazing?
Now the Jewish people, it says, this is a homeland. It said, what does the Jubilee say? Everyone shall return to their homeland. They start coming back. This is going to be our home. This is Jubilee. Jubilee. When does it happen? It happens the year after the Shemitah, in the exact period of time, September 1917, September 1918, right in that period comes the prophetic restoration, right on time, according to the mystery. Now, what happens? What happens if you go forward? We fast forward to the next seventh Shemitah, 49 years. Takes us to the 1960s. 1960s now, could anything prophetic happen, end time happen, according to the thing? Well, here's what it pinpoints. The year of restoration would be September 1966 to September 1967. Did anything significant happen at that time? At that time, all of a sudden, but actually even before this happens, Israel starts singing a song. A new song comes in Israel. It's Jerusalem of Gold. Mm-hmm. It starts spreading all over. They start singing it to the soldiers. They don't even know. It's like a prophetic song about all Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Israel didn't have Jerusalem. The Jordanians had Jerusalem. It was Islamic control. And all of a sudden, right after that song was sung, the Six-Day War breaks out. And Israel miraculously wins. They tell Jordan, stay out of here. Don't fight. Jordan comes in. God uses it. Now Israeli soldiers are fighting. They see the Lion's Gate. They enter through the Lion's Gate. They, for the first time in 2,000 years, you have Israeli soldiers in the holy city of Jerusalem. They make their way to the Western Wall. They take off. You suddenly see the picture. They're weeping. They're weeping as they pray. And what happens? What happens? What is this? This is Jubilee. Jerusalem is the possession of Israel. God gave it to them. So they are being restored. Everyone shall return. They're returning home. To Jerusalem, as Messiah said, they have to come to Jerusalem. And what happens? The first thing, what happens during Jubilee? It says, you shall sound that trumpet. First thing that happens when they get to that wall is the trumpet of the shofar is sounded. Now, not that they know what they're doing. I mean, you know, they don't know this. The man who sounds the shofar is Rabbi Shlomo Goren. Rabbi Shlomo Goren, military chaplain, would become a chief rabbi of Israel. He sounds the shofar. Rabbi Shlomo Goren was born in 1917, the time of the other Jubilee. He was born at the time of the Jubilee. He was not even in Israel, but he was a little kid in Poland, and the Jubilee opened it up for him to come back, return to his land. Now he's in the land, in the capital, blowing the shofar, blowing the Jubilee of Israel, the restoration, and he's 50 years old. It's his Jubilee. I mean, God is so perfect.
And that is amazing.
So perfect. Now, what happened? I mean, I'm saying like that'd be enough. God doesn't have to do it again. And God, you know, we're not going to put him in a box. He doesn't have to do anything, but we are to be aware of the signs of the times. So what happens if we just theoretically go to the next seventh Shemitah? Where does it take us? Where is the prophetic period? The prophetic period would begin. It could, nothing has to happen, but it could. September 2015 to September 2016. We are in it right now. We're at the beginning of it right now. Now, interesting thing. First of all, interesting. What has happened the last times? Every time there has been a war in the Middle East, war concerning the land of Israel, and ending with an end-time prophetic restoration. Now, interesting, you know, there's been this unrest has broken out in Israel, aside from the Middle East too, but it just started, you know, all over. There was an uprising all over. It started on the Temple Mount, this one recently. You know when it started? Elul 29, the day of the Shemitah, just when it reached
its day.
The very hours, just before the trumpet was sounded, on the Temple Mount happened just, and that's the year that ends, then next year is the prophetic Jubilee. Now, here's another thing, with it. When does the prophetic Jubilee, when does it begin? When does Jubilee begin? Well, it says it here. It only can begin on one day of the year, Yom Kippur. It's the only day, Yom Kippur. And the thing is that, and let me throw this in, you know, Jesus is our Yom Kippur. We know that. Sure. He's our atonement. Yeah. Well, if he's our atonement, he must be our Jubilee, because it's atonement that brings a Jubilee. So the thing is that's September 23rd. Now, I'm just going to throw this out, and people don't have to, but it's cool. This is it. In In Daniel, it says when the word goes out to start the restoration of Jerusalem, there will be seven sevens, and then there will be the rest of the 77s. But seven sevens, restoration of Jerusalem, 49 years. It's 49 years, okay. But that's back then, and that was about then. But could the pattern hold? June 7th, 1967 begins this restoration of this Jerusalem. If you count, I'm just throwing it out, if you count 7 times 7 years, 49 prophetic years, which is used in the Bible, which is 360-day periods, it brings you to September 2015, September 23rd, Yom Kippur, the beginning of the Jubilee,
right.
from June 7th to the day. I'm just throwing that out, Now, another thing, what could happen? Well, here's the thing, and there was and I verified this, and actually I'm blessed by your ministry because I'm going to meet this man later, but there was an African minister living in Texas, and he said, the Lord told me I have to speak to Benjamin Netanyahu, and there was no way that's going to happen, except God, he opens the door. He goes up to Netanyahu, this isn't when Netanyahu was prime minister in the first time, in 1998. Yeah. Goes to him and says, I have a word for you. And Netanyahu's skeptical, laughs, and he says, I placed you in power. I've put you here for this time. Do not give up my land. If you give up my land, I will remove you from power. Well, later on, Netanyahu was pressured by the Clinton administration, gives up land, and after that, he's taken out of power. He ends up coming back to America at a gathering of believers in Florida, and the same man says, the Lord said, I have to speak to him again. So he goes, finds him backstage in the green room, says to him, I removed you from power. He says, but I'm going to put you back in power. And I'm going, this time, do not give up my land. I will put you back and you will be back in power at a time that is critical in the history of my nation. And he said, be strong, don't give up, don't. And the thing is that, so Netanyahu, Obama comes back in power, comes in power, 2009, and then comes Netanyahu. And, the administration and Netanyahu have never gotten along, And they were wanting that he would not come back to power. But miraculously, he was voted in again.
It was just a miracle of God, yeah.
And Christians were rejoicing across America. And he's in line to become the longest serving prime minister in the entire history of Israel now. And he's been strong. But this is the secret behind history. You don't hear this in the news. He has a prophecy here. And one of the things that was said in the prophecy was this. It said, you will be there. It says, for the restoration of the tabernacle of David. The tabernacle of David. Now, what's that? Tabernacle of David is the throne of David. It's also the nation of Israel, but it can also mean the temple. It could be the beginning. It'll be for that purpose. And interesting, I was told he saw Netanyahu again, and Netanyahu said, took out a picture and showed it, and it's a picture of Jerusalem. Well, actually, no, it's a picture of the temple, and he said, this is what it's all about. Now, we know that has to happen. I mean, now, whether it happens or begins now, I don't know. But we're in the time period now. We're in exciting times. And the other thing about this, it tells us, if this is a year of Jubilee, listen, we've got the power of Jubilee. Everyone who's watching, the power of Jubilee. Messiah is our Jubilee. He is our restoration. He is our restitution. He is our reconciliation. And the power of Jubilee is in the atonement. And so therefore, and it's always ushered by the atonement. So it means that no matter what, those who are watching, you've been separated, it God's will is you get back. You lost it, God's will is get restored. And you've been separate, get reconciled. But the restoration, it means your and everyone shall return to their inheritance. There is an inheritance that we have. There is a possession we have. We were created for the blessings of God, and God wants us back in there. Got to be in the will of God. If you're not in the will of God, get in the will of God. But in the will of God is restoration, is reconciliation, is liberation, is freedom, is restitution, is all those things. Everyone shall return. He is our Jubilee. Let this be a year of Jubilee for you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just praise God for a moment. Father, we just worship you and we praise you right
Thank
now.
Thank you, Father.
Someone with a broken ankle, just that ankle just miraculously mended right
praise
then.
Father.
in the name of Jesus. Another person with cancer of the throat, that cancer just gone right now in Jesus' name. Blind eyes are being restored right now by the power of God. Ears that one person has new eardrums just installed by the Spirit of God. Oh, the jubilee is here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I'm telling you, lady, your son's coming home. Whoever that is, you've been crying out. There's a person that's been crying out. You don't even know where that boy is, but he's going to contact you, and it's very, very soon. And when it happens, we want to know about it. Praise God. Now, but before, how much time did you say? Okay. In these last 3 minutes, let me tell you, all of this is pointing to the fact that God's Word dominates seconds and minutes and times and peoples and whole nations in order to make one solitary point come to pass. Now listen to me. When you by faith put His Word in your heart and in your mouth and you speak to that mountain in your mouth, that same faith-filled Word of God coming out of your heart, coming out of your mouth, will dominate the laws of sin and death. It'll dominate that mountain in your life, and it will sling it into the sea just exactly like Jesus said it would. And all of these things that we've been studying here for the last 2 weeks, these wonderful, marvelous things, all pointing to that one thing. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. And when we put His Word in our mouths, and by faith we speak it, and believe we receive it, then His majesty is behind those words, and they will come to pass. That's what living by faith is all about. That's what the just shall live by faith-filled words and dominate our very environment, just like God's Word dominated all of these centuries.
History. If anyone has any doubt about God's faithfulness to you, remember Israel. 2,000, 3,000 years ago, He made the promise. He didn't forget. He did it in the world. He did it for all the world to see. Yeah. That's real. Israel is real there. That tells you that your God is real and faithful, and He will keep His Word to you.
On time.
On time.
On time. I tell you, the only thing standing between any of us and absolute greatness is faith. Faith in this God. Faith in His Word.
Yeah.
He has made it so that we can take this time, century dominating Word and feed our hearts with it.
Yes.
And explode with that same Word in our very lives.
And in Hebrew, faith is emunah. And emunah means saying, it comes, you get amen, saying amen to God. And it means steadfast and strong. The one who is in faith will stand like a rock.
Isn't it marvelous?
Yes. God is marvelous.
Oh.
God is awesome.
And we're out of time. I wish we had about four more hours here. We'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting events. April 7th through 9th, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the 2016 Branson Victory Campaign at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. April 21st through 23rd, get connected at the 2016 Living Victory Chicago Faith Encounter with Kenneth Copeland and Kelly Copeland Swisher in Chicago, Illinois. July 4th through 9th, join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests for the 2016 Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas.
As always, Friday is always offering day on this program, because God instructed us to do it that way many years ago. And unless He leads to go some other direction, which He does from time to time, our scripture is Galatians 6. And we begin with the sixth verse, let him that's taught in the Lord, in the Word, communicate unto him or respond to him that teaches in all good things. Now get this, don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now think about that in the light of all we have seen. God said, whatever you sow, you are going to reap. Now that is that same time-governing, situation-governing word that he has spoken, and you can't, I don't see anything to that. That's sowing stuff, all they want is your money. No, all I want to do is help you. Amen. Now, if you mock God, you reap the mock. We've seen that. I mean, judgment comes. It's just, it's an automatic thing. It's tied together. But if you praise God and you sow to your spirit, you don't reap the corruption of the flesh. You reap the life of God. Now that life here, that word zoe, it's telling us that if we sow in appreciation for what we have received, and we sow into the ministry that fed it to me, I'm saying, Brother Copeland and Rabbi Kahn, I want you to keep preaching this. This message has blessed me. I want to help get it to somebody else. That's essentially what's going on here. And you're also saying to God, I receive this anointing. I receive this word. Now, when you sow in behalf of anything, that seed becomes the source for which you sowed it. Jesus said the devil's coming. He's going to attempt to steal that word from you. And when you sow towards this word and appreciation, that's when the roots of it and the revelation of it take hold in your spirit. And Father, we pray over this offering right now. I'm asking you to reveal to each person their part. And as they respond, I pray for the absolute flood of the complete reaction of the Word of God, according to what Jesus said. Anyone that sows for my sake in the gospel shall receive in this time 100-fold. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now just obey God. Amen. Next week, Pastor George is going to be with Dr. Terry Mize. I've known Terry for years and years and years. What a powerhouse he is. Doc, thank you so much. We got to do this again, man. Praise God. This is Kenneth Copeland, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, reminding you that Jesus is
Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. Watch the Believer's Voice of Victory anytime on our website, kcm.org. Remember to download your free copy of the study notes at kcm.org/notes. You'll have access to all the scriptures, prayers, and key teaching points for each of the broadcasts. Continue to grow in the Word with this week's product offer. Be sure to order yours today. Build your faith with these Word-based teaching materials. Jesus has opened the door for your victory.
I'm Pastor George Pearsons, and this is Terry and Renee Mize. Do you want to up your game when it comes to spiritual authority and dominion on the earth? You need to listen to what this man has to say. So, join us on the Believer's Voice of Victory and learn how to take the Word of God, stand on it, and walk out your dominion.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts.